I'll tell you what, before we head on out, my friend, because we've got less than 10 minutes left, I want to talk about real quickly the comment that was made over the weekend on the jump during, I think it was halftime, when Richard Jefferson, who is a very astute analyst, I really like his work. He's been someone who's been all over the place as far as the media is concerned, didn't take up a job from his good friend, Luke Walton. And maybe that was for the better, because now we're the beneficiary of it as fans. But he pointed out that the Lakers don't exactly need a quote unquote third man. They just need a third option in each half. So they need someone to step up in each half. And I thought that was a very good point. And you saw that in the first half of the Golden State game, where Avery Bradley definitely put up those numbers with the threes. But unfortunately, the Lakers don't have a third man consistently, so they do need a third option, at least on both halves. And I think that's where the question comes to lie. Who is going to step up behind AD and LeBron each and every game, each and every half? It doesn't have to be the same person all game long, but they do need consistency on someone stepping up in each half. So I think that was very astute on his part, and I think you'll agree that's the case as well.
Yeah, I've written before about the third man by committee theory, you know, and unfortunately, while that theory holds a lot of water, it's backup theory. You get to that point because you don't have a guy who consistently can do it. And in other words, what the Lakers really need is a guy who's going to score 15 points per game consistently. 14, 16, 18, 12, 14, 16, 18, 12. Instead, what they got is guys who will score 6, 20, 3, 12, you know, and you can't count on them. You just, it just varies. Now, the good part about it is that we have a whole bunch of guys who are averaging 8 to 12 points a game. And so there's a good chance one of them will have a spark night. But you can also have those nights that nobody comes up and nobody steps up, and that's the danger of it. You know, it's sort of like three-point shooting. You live and die with it. A lot of times you can win with it, but built in, it's not the 20 game winning streak when you play that kind of basketball and you play those kind of odds, because you're going to get four or five nights where it's just not going to work and you're not going to hit the threes. And that's the problem with, you know, that's the problem with a team like the Rockets getting a high position in the playoffs, because they aren't going to get a good seed in the playoffs when you're playing the three that way.
And when you saw you saw it from them, because after the Lakers game, which they shot so well and played so well, they lost the next night in Phoenix.
The same thing with the Bucks. If you looked at the stats for the after Giannis hit 5 out of 8 threes against us, he went something like 6 for 25.
Well, but that for games. Him, he's just not a consistent enough shooter, but. You know, often nights he doesn't have to be with the kind of talent and the consistent shooting that they have right now. Plus the fact that they're very tall. They have long reaches. They're very active on defense.
And they play great defense.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, they're a very quality team right now. Right. They are deserving of the record that they're at. It's not a fluke. But going
they're
ahead,
improving in the playoffs, so that's their week. Yeah. That's their Achilles heel.
And we'll have to wait and see. But then again, they don't have to face up against LeBron or Kawhi right now up until it gets to the NBA Finals.
But the Celtics are a lot more better than they thought they were going to be, and the Raptors are a lot better than they thought they were going to be.
And the Heat now are –
good luck with that. The Heat are – Riley, you know, this is the whole thing that's happening is that, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry West like 10 years ago said – you know, in 10 years, there's going to be some team that's got just 5 guys, 6'9", and that's it. There won't be any bigs and smalls. They'll all be 6'9". You look at what the Rockets are trying to do, and you look at what the Heat were trying to do over the trade deadline, and they're both going to be pretty dynamic small ball teams. They've got 5 wings, basically. They're trying to put 5 wings out on the floor.
Yeah, and it's going to be something that a lot of people have to, or a lot of teams, I should say, have to prepare for coming up in the road ahead. Again, it's going to be a hot and cold situation with the Houston Rockets. When they're on, they're deadly, and when they're off, it's also very deadly for them as well. And we've seen that over the past few games.
Well, when they're on, you've got to shoot threes.
Yeah.
You cannot beat them going down and giving the ball to McGee to dunk every single time.
No, 3 for 2 doesn't work.
Yeah, you know.
But then again, the Lakers were also, because they lost that game, because they were trying to force it too much to the inside. And they were trying to really, they were so excited to see those kind of mismatches and height and whatnot. It looks like,
yeah, but you know, when you think about it, when you think about why did we lose against the Clippers? Why did we lose against the Bucks? Why did we lose against the Raptors? Why did we even lose against the Rockets? And it all comes down to teams that sagged off of us because we put two guys out there a lot of time that can't shoot threes. I mean, you got LeBron. First off, you're starting with LeBron and AD. Neither one of them is a good three-point shooter, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're both below average. Below average. Not even average. The average is like 35.6%. They're both 33 and 31% three-point shooters. Then you put JaVale McGee in there. Well, McGee and Howard actually are shooting 50% from three because the few wild shots they've tossed up have gone in. But nobody's going to guard them out there, and nobody wants them to shoot them out there. Teams would be thrilled if AD would go out there and hoist 23s a game. So the problem is that, in a way, we've been seduced by how successful big ball has been against the losing teams. But big ball is not the solution to beat the better teams. We need to have a more balanced attack. We need to have a lot of three-point shooters out there to open the floor for LeBron and AD. And that's what I hope that Frank Vogel is going to understand in the second half of the season. Or maybe part of the plan is that we're keeping a lot of that hidden. We're keeping the AD small ball stuff hidden for the playoffs. I know that Vogel said there's some things that we're not going to show before then.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's what's happening, but that is the formula that we need to get going on. And I'm not a believer that you can uncork something in the playoffs and have it become a success immediately. You need to practice it just the same, just hiding it from everybody and dropping it on them the last minute. You might win one game that way, but in a 7-game series, we got smart coaches that are going to be out there and smart teams that have talent that can adjust.
I'll tell you what, Tom, it's a very interesting time indeed for the Lakers. They should continue that championship or bust mentality as we head into the All-Star break. I'm looking forward to it and seeing what's going on with the Lakers going forward after that. And I'm also hoping that they'll avoid any gummy bears on the way out. Here's hoping that the Lakers will go ahead and make the right decisions going forward, that they'll go ahead and have a focus again on defense. And we'll be coming back with Laker Tom and talk about all the great things coming up for the rest of the season right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.